Testament and read from the first book of Chronicles
and chapter 12. The first book of Chronicles and chapter 12. I want to read from the first 22 verses of this chapter, but I'll not read all the names and all the details. Verse 1 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. The chief was Ahiezer. And then we have a list of 23. Now verse 8. And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Ezer the first. And then the list of 11, verse 14. These were the sons of Gad, captains of the host, one of the least, was over 100. The greatest over 1,000. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all his banks. And they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, If ye become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye become to betray me to mine enemy, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amaziah, who was chief of the captains, or chief of the 30. And he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them, and made them captains of the band. And then some of Manasseh, verse 20. As David went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh, then we have seven names, verse 21, And they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor, and were captains in the host. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. That will be as much as I want to read from the Scriptures. In the past day or two, there have been quite a number of people have woken up to discover that their names have found a place upon the Queen's Honours List for this new year. I judge it is a distinction that will perhaps not come the way of very many of us here. There may be one or two will qualify for that noble distinction, but others have become excited that their name are upon the Queen's List. I was wondering if, as we start into another year, would you have any interest in getting your name upon the King's Honours List? I would judge to have your name upon the Honours List of the King of Kings. It is an enviable distinction. It is one well worth setting one's heart upon. And thank God, while many of us may never feature on the Queen's Honours List, it is within the reach of every brother and every sister at this conference to have his or her name upon the King's Honours List. When the notice board of eternity takes the bill of name, it will be a list that will not only display the name of preacher. There will be many who never stood upon this square, were stalwarts in an obscure locality, and they held ground for the King, and they will adorn his honor list in the celestial courts for all eternity. Will you have your name upon it? You say, can you give us a little help? I would be interested, but how do you get your name there? What do you have to do? How can you become qualified? What distinctions do you have to register? What services do you have to render in order to be assured of a place on such a prestigious list. Well, we have one of these lists. Actually, just in this little part of Chronicles, I know it's a neglected book of the Bible, a beautiful book, but just right here in chapter 11 and 12, we have three lists. The list that I have read is the middle one. In the first list at the end of chapter 11, it's a list of heroes. The third list, which concludes chapter 12, is a list of hosts. But the middle list is a list of helpers. You may not have your Bible open now, but in these 22 verses, just let me draw your attention to one or two expressions. If your eye can fall upon the page of Scripture, well and good. In verse number 1 of this list, chapter 12 and 1, we are told they were mighty men, helpers. Verse number 17, David says, if ye become to help. Verse number 18, Amasai says, peace be to thine helper. Thy God, helper. Verse number 21, and they help. So the men that are catalogued in these 20 verses or so, what gave them a place on this honors list is simply the fact that they were helpers. They helped David at a day when he needed them. He had been anointed. He hadn't yet been acclaimed. It was a day of difficulty and reproach, the interim period. And these were men that identified with him, and they helped him. And he honored them when things changed. You know, there's a great need for help. As I have already said, we might never be heroes. Now listen, I see a great number of younger people here. What a marvelous way to start the new year. Some of you could have been driving around or sitting at a roast dinner somewhere and happily enjoying yourself or something like that. You have come to this conference. May God grant you get a morsel before you head down the broad road home. You can be a helper. You can help the interests of the king. It says helpers of the war. You know, that's the fourth ingredient to what we learned this morning. God needs men that will fish. And God needs men that will feed. And God needs men that will follow. But remember, brethren and sisters, the days in which we live are so demanding that God needs men that will fight. Not fight with each other, but in the conflict of the ages and in the spiritual oppression that is upon us in these days. 2004 will be a difficult year. I wonder how many are going to rise up and be helpers of the war. And stand by the gracious help of God beneath the flag of simple assembly testimony and be identified with the name and the interests of heaven's rejected king. What a privilege to be associated with the crown prince of heaven. God will soon be introducing him and will cause this world to acknowledge the territorial rights of the man of Calvary. And we'll be glad to have been associated with him. Now, what about being a helper? Now, assemblies west of the Don, assemblies east of the Don, assemblies in Nova Scotia, and just looking now at our brother that represents Scotland, they're in great need of help. And the thing that amazes me is this. In this list of helpers, the numbers were small. 23, 11, 30, 7, hardly mixed 70. And when these men joined David in these difficult days, they made such a contribution that he never forgot. You know, listen, brethren, I want to say this. An assembly with 12, because over this side here, we become greatly concerned about small numbers. And it is a concern. And we don't want to pride ourselves in small numbers. Some people think we are small because we're standing to the truth and everybody else is apostatized. And hardly anybody could live with them. I have no time for that kind of thing at all. But I'll say this. We don't want to be proud of small numbers. It should be a concern. But remember, an assembly with 12 who know what they are and where they are and why they are, could make a bigger impact for God than a company with 200 that are just drifters. 23, 7, 11, 30. And there are four bands of men, and they all helped. Oh, to be a helper. Mind you, it doesn't take much exercise to be a hinderer. Anybody can be a drag. You see, you younger folks here, brethren and sisters, young brethren, young sisters, may God, I don't know whether we're allowed by the theologians to speak about resolutions at this time or not. I don't know. But may it be a spiritual resolution that under the hand of a gracious God, if 2004 continues, wherever you are, that you will do your best to be a helper. Helper in the Bible reading. Helper in the remembrance meeting. Helper in the gospel meeting. Don't be running helter-skelter here and there around the country. Dig in your heels. We were hearing about men in the trenches. Get into the trenches and be a helper. Well, you get the honors if you're a helper. How do you be a helper? I have to take a look at what it says about these four groups. Now, the first group is a group of 23. Their little story occupies the first 7 verses. It says, "These are they that came to David to Ziklag." I want you to observe this expression. While he... There's a brother quoting it. An older brother here, and he knows First Chronicles off by rote. There you are, that's something to be aimed for. It says they came to David while he kept himself close. And these men knew that if we join David, this is a bad platform here. I always like a thing on a boundary. Get a boundary put there, or the Bible will be going everywhere. It says that these men came to David, and they knew that when we identify with David, we are going to be restricted in our movement. There are places in Israel that David's not welcome. There were big parties being held in Saul's house, but David couldn't go. And when these men linked with David, while he kept himself close, they knew that our movements are now going to be guided and governed by this. If David's not welcome in such and such a place, we'll not be there. And if there's a party and David's not there, we will gladly be with him in a cave. You know, that's one of the things I notice that a rising generation are not so keen on. I'm putting myself in the rising generation. Older Christians accepted it. Many people have never realized that being identified with a rejected Christ in assembly testimony, it automatically means that your movements are limited. There'll be places you'll not be able to go. There'll be situations that you will never be found. It says they came to David while he kept himself close. Is it any wonder there were helpers? Listen people. Again, younger Christians, and you know that I'm not an old crank or anything like that. I want to say this. Younger people love their liberty. There's nothing easier than just to go through your 20s drifting. Never really getting down to serious Christianity and throwing in your lot and becoming, the in word nowadays is becoming committed. Oh, I don't like to be tied. I need 3 holidays a year. Where am I going to meet people? I don't like to be committed. And the Bible reading shows. While he kept himself. Let us keep ourselves close. Let us cut out all this vague wandering if we're going to be helpers and see something established. Second feature of these men. I'm glad these fellows said 5 minutes is neither here nor there. If you just shirt, you wouldn't know what time you get. There's men here sitting just bouncing to get preaching. I don't know what time you get home. I'm going for my tea here shortly. It says he kept himself close. They identified with them. They were helpers of the war. Verse 2, it says they were armed men and they could use bows. And I love this. They could use both the left hand and they could use the right. You know, listen, I have noticed in my wee day amongst the Lord's people that a lopsided boy's never much help. Never much help. Well, in January, he's away over at this side. And then he's away over at this side. And he's either away over on the left, or else he's away over on the right. And you say, oh, but you want to have middle of the road, man. No, no, just want to have a balance, man. He could use both his right hand, and he could use the left hand. And I hardly know which hand is which. But we've got the both of them anyway. They were. And then it says, finally, I'll just leave this. It says they belong to... See the end of verse 2. It says they were of Saul's brethren. Well, you know, that's what really made these men helpers. They actually overcame their natural links with Saul. They had associations with Saul's house, and they were able to overcome those links, and they got above natural relationship. I would say, dear brethren and sisters, as I hurry along, it's not an easy thing. I don't want to shout it out. I don't want to scold about it. But mind you, in assembly life, if you're going to be a help, you not only need to be balanced, but you need to be able to overcome natural relationships. Many assemblies have been torn asunder because of family friction and people taking sides. And whether it's principle or the name of Christ or this or that, so long as it's our clan and our crowd and our party, these were men that got above their links with the decadent house of Saul, and they said, we are going out to be identified with David, helpers of the war. 23 of them. If you sent 23 in the county Tyrone, you wouldn't know what changes might exist before next year. Helpers of the war, not spectators, not fifth columnists. What about the second group? I'll speak of them very quickly. They're from verse number 8 down to verse number 15. The Gadites, 11 of them. They're counted. We're hearing a lot about counting. Not even a dozen. It says they came unto the hold. No, it says they separated themselves unto David into the hold. It was David first and then the hold. Mighty men fit for the battle. They could handle shield and spear. Faces like the faces of lions. And as swift as roes upon the mountains. I'll not elaborate upon. You read something about their face. Faces like lions. I don't know if these men had a beauty problem or not. But they had faces like lions anyway. They weren't jellyfish. They were men that could face the foe. And I think that if you met one of these men of God, when a Philistine got a look at his eyes, the Philistine on his hairy legs, he went back to the Shephelah as quick as he could and said, I better get out of here. Faces like lions. They could use sword and spear. Buckler and spear, shield and spear, that's their faces, then their hands, they were handy. You know, the previous men were archers. These men weren't archers. The previous men were useful. The 23 Benjamites, they were a help to David for distant warfare. They could sling stones and shoot arrows. These men were useful for close combat. They had different abilities. They could do what the previous men couldn't do. The previous men could do what these men didn't do. You see, one of the great things in assembly life is to learn that if men are going to be a help, they have to do what they can do. We have an awful trouble. I'm not even talking about conference life. Men trying to do what they can do. And then the men that could do it are not getting to it. And then the whole thing's becoming upset. You see, here were men were handy with their hands, with their faces, and their feet were as swift as roes. Once they got a grip of the ground, they could hold it. They weren't stumbling about. You know, I love to have men that have a good grip of their ground. A sure footed. Nothing vague in their movements. Nothing staggering. It says one of them was, the poorest of them was as good as 100 and the best of them was as good as 1,000. That simply means if you had 10 of these men, it was as good as having 1,000 ordinary men. That's going back to what I'm saying a minute ago. In the things of God, remember, brethren and sisters, that quality is always far more important than quantity. One good man is worth 10 of another kind. One real soldier is worth 10 Boy Scouts any day. And it tells us about these Gadites, the 11 of them. When did they come? It says they came to David in verse number 15. It says they went over Jordan when it had overflown all its banks. I mean, to reach David, these men plowed through water that was up to their very chin. Father said, "Bach, I know, was this enough of water they needed? We'll wait till later on in the year when we'll be able to get across the river in stone." They said, "David needs us. And we'll allow no depth of water to keep us from association with God's law." You know what amazes me? Can I say again? For I'm thinking mainly of younger believers, not exclusively. It amazes me in going around the country. Now I know younger folks have their job commitments and all that and very busy timetables. I'm not giving a swipe swipe at that. But it amazes me. You see, older Christians, there are some of them who never miss a meeting. Rheumatism, arthritis, angina, everything they have at all, and the box of pills to no end, and they never miss a meeting. I would say, especially the younger Christians, you have your exams, you have your thesis, do your best to do them well. But I want to say, also be very careful that those things don't keep you back from the entrance of Christ. Plow through the water, even though it's Jordan deep. That's the kind of people that are helpers. Helpers. The first men overcame natural difficulties because they were linked with Saul. These men overcame geographical difficulties. They were on the other side of Jordan, but they crossed a river in full speed in order to arrive at the king. Thirdly, and if I told you all I could tell you, well, I would really be here for a long time, but I'll not. The group of 30. We read about them from verses 16 to 18. They came to David. Oh, there were 23 of the first men, there were 11 of the second men, and now David looks out and there's 30 coming. Oh. We're going to get 30. He says, never had the likes of this. Look at the 30 of them. We'll be in a great form in the 30 of these. He says, "Men, the 30 is..." He says, "Now listen, men." He says, "I want to interview you, men, first." He says, "Some of you men belong to my own tribe, the tribe of Judah." And he said, "There have been too many of them have betrayed me." And he said, "They pretended to be friends." You remember, go back to the first book of Samuel. I'll not go into detail. You remember the men of Keilah? They gave David asylum in their city, and then behind backs they went and they told the Philistines, "He's here, come and get him," told Saul and so on. They professed to be a friend, but they weren't through. When David got these men, now he says, "There are other men that belong to your group," he said, "and they weren't through men," he says. "Now I want to ask you some questions. I want to speak for a minute. It's maybe a little bit out of my range, but I want to speak for a minute to brethren that are interviewing. When a new group comes, you say there are six have just come. If we get six in, there's another seat filled. We'll not be too hard on them. It's great to see them. Get the seats filled. Sure, we're small. We need to get the numbers augmented." Yet David says, "Look, we are small." But he says, "I'm more interested in reality than I am in statistics." He says, "Tell me, men." He says, "Are you men coming with an honorable motive?" He said, "Have you men true loyalty within your hearts?" It says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Amasai." And he says, "Thine we are. Thine we are. And on thy side, thou son of Jesse." Peace be to... No, they said, "But you shouldn't take sides." You know, there are times when you have to take sides. When David heard these men, and the Spirit of the Lord that was detected in what this man Amasai said as the spokesman for the group of 30. You know what David says? He says, "Now we'll put you in the back seat for 3 weeks to see how you get on." He says, "You receive them." He says, "Men that can speak like that with the mark of the Spirit upon them," he says, "those men will be a help to my God." He received them. Brother, when you're interviewing, and I want to say this seriously, and I'm not in the position, and I'm speaking tenderly, and I'm speaking with deference as well. You say, "Well, what I'm looking for is I love to hear a great story." You know, we're living in a day where there's so much profession. People could tell a story that would fill this auditorium, and the whole thing would be as empty as a balloon. I'm never too keen on these big conversion stories, to tell you the truth. Praise God for every renegade and every derelict that grace has saved. But I think that most of the big stories should be parceled into a small bag. Well, you say, well, I listen for a big story. You know what you should want to detect is this. Whether the words are well put together, whether the story is exciting or elaborate, you should listen and see, is there any indication of the Holy Spirit at all? Can I see the Holy Spirit? As soon as David detected an Amaziah speech, he says, that's the Holy Spirit. He says, come on in, man. He says, you're welcome. And it says he joined into the band. David received them. 23 Benjamites, 11 Gadites, 30 Amazites, and finally, from verses number 19 down to verse number 21, there are 7 Manasseh. They came to David just as he was going to Ziklag. You know that story. And it tells us about these Manassites that they were captains of the thousands of Manasseh. You know, that's what made it difficult for these men. For these men to become identified with David, they had to resign a big position. They were captains of... Oh, you say, but I tell you, man, dear, you don't want to leave being a captain of thousands and a captain of quite a sizable regiment, and you're going to become identified with that little band, with David. Say, man, you're mad. You're going to give up your position here, and you're going to throw in your lot with that little group. You know, these men thought more of David than they did of their own status. One of the things that impresses me in reading, impresses many of the brethren that have read it, you read down through chief men among the brethren. You know, in those early days of that great movement 170 years ago, it's amazing how many men with titles were touched by the power of the Spirit of God. Sirs and lords and earls. And they had great positions in this world. And they were so won by the beauty of a Christ that suffered outside the camp that they left some of the best positions and they gathered with little companies that bore approach to his name. Brethren and sisters, let us be, it says they became a help. These men, just 7. 7. And they became a help to David against the band of rovers. Who were the band of rovers? What did the band of rovers try and do? What about the story of 1 Samuel chapter 30? You remember when David came to Ziklag? The Amalekites had been... Oh, the Amalekites wouldn't face David head on. But the Amalekites had slipped in behind the backs when David wasn't there, and they took away the children and the women. They were crafty boys. They weren't good fighters. But they always slipped. You know what they did? You know what the Amalekites tried to do? They tried to split David's company. Left the men. And we are going to take away the women and the children. We're going to divide the company. Now, brethren, I'm rushing through here. And I'm going to have to abbreviate my application. But you know, I feel that one of the things that we need to stand against is a very serious threat that would come across the north of Ireland that would divide the companies of the Lord's people. Now, it's not a frontal attack. It's not coming from the arch enemies of Christianity, but there's a move on to take away some of the women and the children. And I believe we need to stand together so that we might help the interests of testimony against that. Younger people, I'm speaking to you. I trust I can say this is not bigoted. And I have as much interest in building up a party as I have flying to the moon. And I haven't tuppence of interest in brethrenism. If you create an ism out of it. I have nothing, no interest. What we are to be doing here in light of the coming back of Christ is to advance his interest. The interests of the King. Now you younger people, listen. You be very, very careful about weekend retreats. And you be very, very careful about going away to these off-the-side events. And these special Bible study weekends. Oh, but you say you wouldn't discourage Bible study. No, actually, once in a while I do encourage Bible study. Because
sure, it's a good cause, and it's arranged. Do you not know who arranged it? It's arranged by, there's a committee of good men.
I wouldn't doubt it. But where do you find a good committee of men arranging a thing in the Bible, the New Testament? Listen, my advice to you is, now I'm not trying to put trammels on you, and I'm not trying to hinder your spiritual growth, and I'm not trying to impede your Bible study, and I'm not trying to restrict your fellowship with other Christians of your own age group, or I'm not doing any of those things, is this. But I'll tell you what I am doing. I trust with all my heart before Almighty God. There are so many faces in this meeting, and we would love that you would be a help. Now, if you want to be a help, you don't want to be a help, that's all right, just fool about. But if you want to be a help, now in your life, and when the life's over, so that you'll not say, oh, this is too bad, look at the time I spent, and look at the energy I put into that, and I'm nearly wasted, and I wasn't really building up anything for God, anything that was solid. If you want to be a help, I say in God's name, you avoid, let others go, don't be scolding or criticizing, you avoid everything that's not assembly based. Finds its roots in a local assembly. We have a band of rovers in our day. And the band's getting bigger. It says the help David against the band of rovers. And blessed be his name, when these men threw in their weight and they joined with David's soldiers, it tells us David recovered all. Remember, brethren, once they go, don't say that's it. They're lost. They're still recovering. Some that have been carried away can be gathered back. May God grant that we will contribute with help to the. Will you be a helper? We might never be heroes. Will you be a preacher, a missionary, an overseer? You may never be. But everyone can be a helper of the war. I'll conclude with this. It's been often repeated, frequently quoted. In the year that's passed, people were celebrating, or at least were talking a lot about the death, the assassination of John F. 40 years ago, 1963. Was it one of his successors, Nixon, said that there'll be no whitewash at the White House. Well, there's no place that's as much whitewash as it. But anyway, the beginning of the spin doctor process was John F. He was a master preacher, a master speaker, an orator. He had some things going together. He carried the nation. The master spin doctor. He said many things that are well worth thinking about. And in his inaugural address in 1961, this is what he told the American nation. He told them about difficult days ahead and financial problems. And he said, I'm not giving you big promises and all that. He said, I'm offering you a challenge. And he said, this is the point. He says, ask not. Everybody listen to this now. Ask not. What can my country do for me? He said, I want you to ask. What can I do for my country? People today, you know, we love to be attended. You see this business. They say, oh, I don't get anything at the meetings. I don't get any food. I know that. And there are some places here, and there's hardly a brother to open the Bible and give the younger Christians a bite to eat. It's a shame and a disgrace. And it's you overseeing brethren that bear the shame when the young people go away with empty spiritual stomachs. Men that are holding oversight positions that have never invested time in the study of the Bible, and the larders bear. It's a shame upon us. But I feel the shame of that, and I bear it. Let me say this. I hear many folks say, oh, well, there's no food, and I'm a young Christian, and I can't get anything to eat. I never had that problem. I was received into the assembly, baptized when I was 13. And to be quite honest, I have received more food than I can cope with, right down my life. You know, listen, you see all this complaint that there's no food, there's likely far more food than we think if you go and look for it. And set yourself for it. Food can be found. It's your responsibility to look for it. It's our responsibility to give it. And may God help us. As I conclude, see all this thing, what am I? I'm not getting anything out of this. I don't get anything. You think you were the center of attention. We all like our ego scratched. And the individualism of these postmodern times, I don't get anything. And I'm just, everybody's not fussing around me. Listen, as I stop, do not ask what the assembly can do for you. Ask, what can you do for the assembly? And may God help you to do it. You know, it's a great thing to have a desire to be a helper. There's something better than having a desire to be a helper. It's actually being one. Don't just think about it and talk about it. You know, help is needed. 2004 is crying out for help. I can see in this conference there are no scarcity of hands. I wonder how many hearts are going to be given to the King of Kings to help his interests in these areas that I have just mentioned. May the Lord bless his word and encourage us as we proceed into this year in his spirit.